Hello, welcome to the Old Man Orange Podcast. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Dunnigan.
We get the special kind of holiday of E3 coming at us with 2021's version like this. This was that thing that I remember back in the day when, you know, you kind of like wait for E3 before you had the magic of the internet and things like that, and you would wait for like things like the Nintendo Power or the Game Pro to come in, which would be kind of like almost like maybe like 2 weeks to a month later. I mean, they got it out pretty jiffy on the spot. Those guys are probably working overtime to get that going. But you'd get that magical issue of the E3 issue, whatever magazine you were kind of into of gaming. And you just have this thing, be like this cherished catalog that you would look at for like the next like 4 months or something like that, of being like just getting yourself so prepped for what's coming out and what's all these new games and so on like that. And you could kind of refer back to it. Where I guess then the next step was that once there was G4, that was the big deal. It's like, oh shit, we could watch E3 now. We've never been able to do this before. We could watch 3 days. And I just remember just being like, just sit at home, be like, oh man, we just gotta hang out and watch these trailers and so on and what's coming out now. And now we're at the point where it's like, it's almost like there's so much like, you know, YouTube information or videos or Nintendo's own site and, you know, so on like that. But like, it's almost like, I feel like it doesn't stick in my mind nearly as much. It's like, even though you're watching, it's just like, it's like it's coming from so many different directions at once that I feel sort of bombarded. It's not like as much of a spectacle as it once was.
Well, yeah, same thing here. And on top of that, I feel like E3 is slowly become obsolete because you do have everybody putting out their own. I mean, they drop trailers wherever, whenever now. And before, it'd be like, this is the one place to get the newest trailers, you know? Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, it's also like, I don't want to sound like this, like a lot of the youngins don't know what I'm talking about, but that would be that thing. You look through E3. Not just as a kid, but even like in, like, well, I guess still technically a kid, high school.
I kind of refer to that as still a kid nowadays. That's almost like...
Yeah, I guess not like a kid, but
you're like a senior kid.
Well, the thing is, you'd be looking at E3, you see all this cool stuff they're posting up, and they're trying to... Granted, they're trying to get people excited for people that are there for whatever it is they got going on, but there's always this thing like, look, we're handing out, like, you know, here, if you go by the Sega booth, you get a plushie of Sonic. Go by, like, you know, the Microsoft booth, here's some, like, you know, like Master Chief swag, whatever. And there's like, but you can't come unless you work at a fucking GameStop. You're getting the fuck out of here. Like, that was like one of the reasons why people actually wanted to work at GameStop back then, because I mean, they could possibly get into an E3 that way. And now you have people saying, oh, it's too many people there, fuck E3 now, because now it's open to the public. But at the same time, I'm like, I was kind of like, you know, now it's like, kind of go that whole, I know it wasn't their intention to be malicious or anything, I don't think it was any way intended to be, but after all those years of like, look at all this cool shit, you could only look through in a magazine, then it's just like, yeah, fuck you, you know?
Well, technically, it was a trade show, so that was meant to be like, it was a bunch of businesses getting together to show off their wares, the things, and, you know, bring the press in, and it like that. I think as time kind of went on, I was like, oh, shit.
Businessman's going to want a plushie of Kirby.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I feel like you're giving it out to the wrong people, but that's almost sort of what it was. It was just to show off your wares, the potential, like, big buyers and so on like that, but, it was, I remember literally in high school, I'd be like, dude, we're gonna get together, we're gonna, you know, we're gonna buy tickets, we're gonna drive down to E3, and then it was like, oh yeah, by the way, you can't get that, you're the public, you dirty public. And it was just like, I remember, like, there was a local game store, and they're like, well, we're kind of in a bid to see if we can get tickets in there, but since we're mom-and-pop business, you know, they're not just going to allow anybody in there. I was like, of course.
Exactly. So,
you know, I remember that was kind of the thing, too. Probably mom-and-pop business was like, well, we don't have, even if we got the tickets, we don't have the cash or time to go down there and spend 3 days in San Diego or whatnot.
Well, I remember a local business in Sonora that was a video game store was trying to do that, and they're talking about, like, yeah, we're on the bidding list, but nothing came of it.
And
you know, I'm not gonna be like, oh, fuck E3 because they didn't let kids in and because they didn't let this one random store in Sonora, California in. Nothing like that, but
that means there's that means there's a random store in everybody's town that didn't get let in. That's how I look at it.
Yeah. It's more of just like, I don't know, I think E3, by this point, it's kind of like redundant because, you know, Nintendo Directs, and then, like I said, companies posting whatever trailer, whenever they want now. It's like, we get information on the daily now. So I think E3, not right away, but probably in the next 5 to 10 years, I could see it becoming something of the past, and or even less of a big deal than it is now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because the downfall is nobody knows how to savor anymore, because that was the thing. Before, it was just like, you savored all your good material for this one moment, so it made it just explode with all kinds of cool stuff coming out at once. But nowadays, people just like, they almost can't. They're like, oh, well, we got a trailer. Jimmy just finished rendering it. Put it out now. But like, what's the meaning behind it? I don't know. Just drop it now. We'll make it up on the fly. And it's like, I think that's kind of, that's the
problem. We got 2 years to figure this game out.
That's kind of the problem, where before it was like, there was a buildup and there was preparation and there was secrecy. You know, it was like a James Bond movie preparing your game, you know? And
yeah.
I think that's what made it magical. And I think that's the thing, is even though it's still cool, I mean, you know, just games in general coming out with trailers and what have you, that's always just something fun in itself anyways. But like, it is kind of diluted, I guess, is the kind of the thing here, you know?
Now, like every year, there is always a few things that look good, but majority of this year, I was kind of like, whatever about. I mean, there is some good stuff that I'm excited for, but a lot of the stuff I'm excited for, I knew it was coming. You know what I mean?
Well, I almost don't count those kind of, because there's some of that stuff they show at E3 where it's just like, yeah, that game comes out in 2 weeks. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they tend to put a lot of emphasis on, like, the Mario Golf one. It's like, dude, that game comes out, like, next week. I think everybody who wants that game's got it pre-ordered. You know what I mean? Like,
as a Nintendo fan, because, you know, there is, like, I'm not going to lie, there's a couple that I was just like, really? What the fuck was that? Like, Capcom, like, Monster Hunter looks cool. I never really played Monster Hunter, so I can understand how that looks cool, but, and I might be curious about that whole kind of, like, Monster Hunter Pokemon version, where I guess you capture it, and then you kind of raise it and ride it and make it fight other ones.
Mm-hmm.
That could be cool, too, you know?
Yeah.
But generally, Capcom's whole presentation, I was like, what the fuck is this? Because, like, Capcom, it's like, you guys have some of the most recognizable characters in video games altogether, and you barely utilize any of them.
Yeah, well, and sadly, that's kind of how Capcom's been for almost, like, the last 10 years, is, like, you know, because really there hasn't been a whole lot. There's, like, you know, there's a Resident Evil here and there, and Resident Evils can kind of come in different waves nowadays. You know, you get ones that are really good, and then you can get ones that are, I mean, like, I'll even say, like, it's like number 8. It's actually a really cool game. It surprised me actually more than this, but you don't feel like you're playing Resident Evil at all. Feels like, I kid you not, that almost feels like I'm playing Castlevania, and it's just like, hey, by the way, this is a funny, weird, modern take on Castlevania that happens to be first person. I would almost believe that more than a Resident Evil. But, you know, it's not saying that it's a bad thing, but, you know, it's like, and even like, you know, Street Fighter, I mean, how long, Street Fighter V's been out for, like, 6 years or something like that? It's like, that's technically been the only, I mean, they, you know, there's expansion packs and so on like that, too, to add to it, but, you know, there's Mega Man 11, I guess, but there's still not, like, tons and tons of stuff. Devil May Cry 5, but, you know, still very few games throughout you could kind of name as far as, you know, big Capcom ones. When, you know, they used to just make great games all the time, Super Nintendo all the way on up and so on, but
what they have this year for the Capcom one, it was a hipster in a hoodie and a mustache talking for a while about the expansions of
Monster
Resident
World.
Evil 8. Oh. Resident Evil 8, yeah.
Yeah, they had that.
And then they had, like, Monster Hunter, which I never played it, but I'm sure it's cool.
Yeah, people have always said it's good, and I've looked at it my entire life and just, you know, just never got around to it. I feel kind of bad, but
Phoenix Wright, I'm sure it's fun once you get to play it, but I never really got into Phoenix Wright.
Yeah, that's another one of those games that I've looked at ever since it came out, like, on DS, and I'm like, I should get that game, and I just never have. That's how it is. You got good intentions for certain of these ones, but, you know, at the end of the day, you always gotta be honest, there's only so much time to play so many games.
Yeah, and then there's also, they just made, like, hey, we're going to be doing a lot of Street Fighter tournaments. Isn't that cool? Like, it'd be cooler if there's a new Street Fighter game, or a Mega Man game, or a new announcement of Devil May Cry, or shit, just...
Or all the other Capcom series, like, where's Dino Crisis? Where's Onimusha? Where's all of this? They're like, well, those games didn't make enough money, so shut the fuck up. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, that's right. Capcom likes money. I thought you guys liked creativity. No. Why do you think the creator of Resident Evil doesn't even work here anymore? I question it, but...
I like how demeaning the fucking CEO of Capcom is to, like, the fan base. Now, give me your fucking wallet. Empty your wallet. Come on, nerd. Yeah,
what do you got in there? What is this? $6 and a receipt for a cookie? What? Where's the money for that cookie? I want it now. Come on, hurry up. Spit the cookie out.
Give me the cookie. Give me your fucking cookie. Just starts like just some tall-ass Japanese dude in a suit just shaking down like this like nerdy-ass like 14-year-old.
Well, the weird thing, too, though, is when I watch E3, like, it's funny, like, the things that I felt like I got most excited for were, like, the stuff that's, like, almost not really even, like, an E3 release kind of thing. More like something you would just drop on a random Tuesday. But it was like, oh, they got an Advance Force 1 and 2, like, remastered coming out on the Switch. I was almost more excited for that than almost anything else. So I'm like, boy, Nintendo hasn't even done an Advance Force in a good while.
Well, that's the thing about, then I'll say this, we'll jump to, I guess the one that probably means the most to me personally. There's the Nintendo presentation, and that one for me was, if someone said it wasn't their favorite, I get it, but for me it was my favorite because I got a Switch, and it wasn't like, you know, oh my god, it was more like, okay, that was good. I was hoping to see more on Breath of the Wild 2, but what I did see looks pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of, like, we're bringing the sky thing back into it, because the guy who worked on Skyward Sword is also the guy who worked on Breath of the Wild, so it's kind of interesting. They're kind of bridging the gaps between those right there by taking Hyrule back to the sky and below. When I heard below, I was like, so it's not just going to be a bunch of caves and caverns, so that's going to get old quickly. So, but the sky, I think, is a great opportunity right there.
Yeah, because hopefully, that's the thing, is that game, I hope that that's kind of what it does, is it just sort of adds more, because I felt that was always the thing that was sort of missing about Breath of the Wild. Like, I like that Zelda game, but I don't like it nearly as much as the other ones. But it is that kind of thing that, like, it kind of, like, because they said, like, okay, we're not going to do your standard. You guys bitched about the fire temple and the water temple and all that crap. So guess what? You get robot magic all the way. I hope it's not just straight up robot magic the entire time where it's like, oh, well, you know, it'd be nice if there was some fire temple. No, you bitched about it. So you're getting robot magic the entire time. You don't get that fire temple. You don't get the water. You don't get the lightning. You don't get the shadow temple. I don't care what you want. You don't get it. You're getting robot magic because you guys bitched so much about it.
I like how every exec from these video game companies is like a dad talking down to his kid.
Yeah, like on a road trip.
Just like on a road trip. Like, can we get like Sonic Mania 2?
Colors Remastered. I know it wasn't at E3, but you're getting it anyways.
Street Fighter 6? Can we get Street Fighter 6? Shut the fuck up! I'll pull this car over. I'll meet you in the middle. You get tournaments for Street Fighter V, all right? Now shut the fuck up. Okay. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, that's it. Now, I know that this isn't a game that you would care about, but this is something that definitely piqued my interest, was the Mario Party All-Stars one, where it's like, hey, it's literally just a remastered version or a remixed remake of all the N64 kind of games put in one.
I wish I liked Mario Party. I love Mario and generally the franchise, but I fucking
But
loathe.
I hate parties.
Well, no, I hate Mario Party.
Just hate when Mario throws a party.
You think Mario and parties would go hand in hand, but they don't. It's like, okay, I even went out of my way to be open-minded. So I went to a friend's house about maybe a year ago and played the Mario Party for the Switch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we agreed that we were all going to beat up on the computer. And whenever, because there's three of us in a computer, so we all agreed we're going to beat up on the computer. And I was ahead of the computer. I was legitimately ahead of the computer, and someone else was, one of the real human players, was ahead too, that was mm-hmm. number one, then, you know. So we were playing, we're getting to the end, like, okay, I'm roughly about number two or number three. Okay. And then the game does this thing, like, okay, you know, like Toad comes out, like, for the most
part. Who am I gonna fuck up now?
Yeah, exactly. Whose day do I get a fucking ruin? You know, and then, like, just comes in and just, like, for the most stars goes the person who got the most stars. Woo, yay, good for you. For most coins goes to the computer player. Like, okay, computer player did get the most coins. To, you know, and then, like, gives a few stars out to everybody. And then we get to the end. Like, okay, so I am number three or whatever, which is what I'm used to being, or being last, you know, most of the time. And he says, like, and also, just because he tried so hard and he's my best friend, I'm going to give the computer player another star. Oh, and for most spirit and best team player goes to computer player. So arbitrarily, the computer player just suddenly beats me with two stars. I'm like, fuck Mario Party. I'm not playing Mario Party. Mario Party can suck my dick. I'm not touching that fucking remaster of Mario Party. Fuck it.
Oh, Well,
participation trophy horse shit.
Well, it's probably because you all ganged up on the computer. That's what happened there.
Fuck that.
No.
I don't give a shit. Fuck the computer. Computer works for me.
Well, I guess you could if you put him on a team, but yeah. Well, I don't care. I love me a good Mario Party bash, and I'm looking real forward to that one. I'm actually more excited about that than I thought it was going to be. When I kind of saw it, I was like, oh, cool, new Mario Party. And then when I was kind of watching the trailer, which, granted, about 30 seconds into that trailer, I had to go watch the Japanese. But that's what I kind of learned. I just started watching the Japanese trailers because I could not take the voiceovers in so many of those ones. It's just like, hi, guys. We're the GameStop guy, and I'm here to tell you all about Mario Party. It's volume down. No, none of that. Don't. I just hate those, like, phony guys that, like, sound more robotic than a computer. You know what I mean? Where it's like, no. I want a real human talking on that. I don't want somebody who's just getting paid and, you know, doesn't have a soul, you know?
Oh, I know. That's how much so much... I guess they want that clean-cut presenter who doesn't say... who's not going to say anything risky or anything, and I get that. But at the same time, there's just something about the... Hey, God! They're just... Something
I don't
like,
trust him. I don't trust him.
There's an uncanny valley to this real-life person. I can't really put it down.
Well, it's like, you know, back in our day, it's like once we're like, hey, we got Johnny Knoxville here to announce about it. But nowadays, it's like, oh, whoa, we can't have one of those guys up here. Like, he's going to go off the handle, you know what I mean? Like, he's too rough around the edges. What does he do for a living? Well, he pretty much tortures himself on camera.
Takes a hammer to the nutsack once in a while. Now he's going to come talk about, like, Yoshi's Woolly World. Come on, Johnny.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, now it's like, I don't know, it's just like that's so polished and filtered, like, I just can't take it. But in the Japanese version, they're always better. At least maybe because I just don't understand it. Because it's just, you know, Mario Party!
Mario Party!
Or I just like, there was the Mario, I watched the Mario Golf one, the Japanese one, too. And it was just like, four Japanese folks sitting around all dressed like they're about ready to hit the course, like, and just total, like, Tiger Woods, like, gear and whatnot. And they're playing it on the couch. And, like, I was like, this is so much better than the American version. I don't know what's going on, really, but they're playing golf, and it's just, there's no bad voiceovers.
Metroid 5.
For or are you talking about the Metroid Dread, or are you talking about the...
Yeah, Dread. It's a Metroid 5 for a second. Became Metroid Dread, yeah.
That one was kind of like, it was like, oh, that's cool, but... Where's the Metroid Prime 4? You know what I mean? Like,
sit on for 3 years.
Well, it's funny because, like, they pulled that card, like, last time where it's like, oh, well, you know, we don't got Metroid Prime 4, but guess what? We got a remake of Metroid 2. It's going to be awesome. Like, this will hold you over, right? And everyone's like, oh, cool. Yeah. We're there. And then it's like, feels like they're pulling that card again. Like, well, wait a second. We got another holdover. And granted, like, it looks awesome. And I mean, like, yeah, okay, cool. It continues, like, the old, you know, the fusion storyline and so on from there. Like, it's not like I'm not totally sold for it. I just felt like, okay, it's like sometimes, it's the only thing about it, Nintendo sometimes will take like their, if it's not Zelda and it's not Mario, I feel like everything else is on such like a slow back burner. It's just like, they work on it maybe like once a week or something like that, you know, going around.
Yeah, I kind of get that vibe from, they also seem to, like, because it's been so long from like since a Star Fox game or even like, everything is just kind of like when they get to it, kind of, you know?
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, that's the thing they have at Star Fox. They worked on that for like 7 years. Like, they almost like, they just like, well, we only work on those games on Sunday. And half the time we take Sunday off. So.
That's what makes me, we were talking about this on Octorok Talks. We lightly talked about what was available of E3 at the time. And Nintendo didn't get a presentation yet. But we were talking about, like, how Nintendo's cracks down so hard on people for making fan work or fan games and this and that. It's like, well, I don't know, put out another fucking Star Fox game or another F-Zero and more Metroids and people probably wouldn't feel the need to make it as much, you know?
Yeah, because I think that's the thing. It's just, I don't even care. It's like, even if you have to get, like, a third-party developer, I mean, they do it every once in a while anyways, so might as well just get it for those series and put it together. I mean, Star Fox half the time is not even made by Nintendo anymore, you know? Metroid's a lot of times not even made by Nintendo, you know? Just, you know, get those companies out there and get it kind of going.
Mm-hmm. What about, let's see here, there's Nintendo, you know, they brought, I mean, I'm just going to give Nintendo credit because, like, alright, they had we knew Mario Golf was coming out, and then the new announcements for people who give a shit, they had the Mario Party remaster game, then they had the WarioWare game, they had Metroid 5 or Dread, and then they gave more information on Zelda, and then Advance Wars. So it's like, okay, you guys at least brought a couple of franchises out that you haven't touched in a while, like WarioWare and Advance Wars and Metroid. So, okay, all right, that's something. We are all hoping for a little bit more, but it's something, you know, where everything, where like, going back to the Microsoft one, I don't have a new Xbox yet. I don't even know which one to get. I don't know which series is what.
You get the Series X. You don't get the Series S. That's the simple of...
Series S is like the little bitch one?
Yeah, that's the one that has no disk drive and not nearly as powerful.
Okay, so Series X. All right. Do you know what that one's going for?
It's 500.
500, that you, assuming that you, there's when there's more than seven of them being made.
Yeah, exactly. I found the Series S in the wild, but I can't find the Series X so far.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to go back. There's that period when something is still really hard to come by, and you finally, like, see it in the wild. You almost get, like, you're almost kind of like your heart stops for a second. I had that with both the... All Nintendo.
Uh-huh.
The Wii, the Super Nintendo Classic, and the Switch.
Yeah.
Remember getting to whatever store, and just seeing it in there, just like... Like you want to get someone to get the to unlock it, but you're afraid someone else is going to grab it before you do. It's just like, what the fuck? Just go over there. You just like almost like hit the thing. Like,
but he knows. It's like he knows what you mean.
Oh, do you want Breath of the Wild or Mario Kart? Like, no! Like, oh, Breath of the Wild. Okay, all right.
I remember getting like the SNES Classic, and it's like the guy didn't give me a bag on my way out. I'm like, I have that feeling like I could get mugged on the way out of here. Like, you know what I mean? You can't just get these any day.
I got my Switch when I was living in San Francisco, and I wasn't in a bad part of town at all. But the thought ran through my head of like, I could put this into my backpack. What if somebody tries to steal my bag while I'm on the BART on the way back? On the BART, the bus. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just like, I'm probably fine. I called a Lyft or an Uber, and just like, oh, hey man, how you doing? Like, doing good. Just holding on my bag, like it's like a Fabergé egg that's on its way to like a museum.
Well, and I feel like a bad part of town wouldn't make a difference there, because the person that would end up robbing you would be somebody who's never committed a crime in their life, but then all of a sudden, like, he's got it. And then this, like, sudden, like, urge would come out and be like, I've never stabbed a man more, but this is now the time, this calling of it.
There's cameras, my family must eat tonight.
You know, and that's how I feel. It's like, I got that feeling when I saw the Xbox Series S, I got that feeling, I was like, oh, my gosh, is that what that is? Is that what I think it is? That's not just an Xbox One, is it? And so on. And then I was like, so... I was thinking, like, if there's an S there, maybe that leads to an X. And then I was like, oh, no, there's not. So it's just like, okay. No, I was ready to throw some money down, but I guess no.
I know we're getting off topic from actual E3, but I just want to say, when you actually go to the person with the little key to take it out of the container, they always have just such like a dead-eyed look. And not because they're working at Target or Walmart or whatever, but they're just so tired of being asked about Switches or PS5s or whatever, that when, like, can I get the thing over there? I want to take it home, and I want to play it. Like, yeah, okay. Like, you know, because they're probably being asked a million questions about it all day, and when there is one, like, great, there goes our four we have. Now I'm going to have to answer this question for the rest of the day if we have any in the back stock. Can you just check? Like, I checked 10 times already. There are none in the back. Are you sure? Like, yeah.
Yeah, I work here. I'm pretty darn sure. but no, actually, Xbox actually had a pretty good, like, showcase of all kinds of stuff there. I mean, there was all things from just small stuff, like, when they showed the Microsoft Flight Simulator, and it's like, okay, cool, it's coming out to Xbox. I mean, I have it on PC and so on. And then it's like, oh, and by the way, you get to fly the Top Gun jets in it, too. Just because, you know, it's like, oh, cool, I could be Maverick and fly over my house. I don't know what, it's like the first thing that you get Microsoft Flight Simulator, like, wait a second. Can I fly over my actual house? And it's like the first thing, like, pilot
have,
towards
like,
there.
Real map or something.
Yeah, you can fly over everybody's house. I flew over your house.
They use
my
Google
house.
Maps.
It doesn't use Google Maps. It uses like its own Microsoft Maps, but like in a sense like that.
I'm gonna have to check that out now. Yeah.
It's really like one of the most house, like, it's one of the most impressive things. Like, it's almost like a completely different experience, but just being able to fly all over these places, or like the mess with like the settings. Like, I always thought that was really fun because you can change all the weather and so on. So like I turned it like. all the degrees down and put the weather up high and everything like that and snow to the max and so on. And it was flying through San Francisco. It's like, oh my God, there's like 30 feet of snow all over San Francisco. I'm like, this looks so cool.
Well, imagine when you say you flew over my house, I'm guessing, is it just kind of like they're not going to have every all the
It's not like your dad's out there stands like smoking a cigarette. Oh, I'll be back.
Oh, God damn it, Maverick. I knew him. Coffee on himself.
No, it's almost like it must take like kind of like a satellite image and then convert it into like a 3D object, because it's like, you know, like the buildings have like the same like structural design of everything, but sometimes, like, I guess if it's not like, you know, a landmark or something like that, it doesn't have like the super high detail to it. It's just kind of like, in a sense, a generic building. Like, hey, your house is brown. Well, we're gonna use our brown generic building looking thing.
Oh, I don't expect it to look exactly like, oh yeah, they didn't get the deck. Oh, they got the potted plant by the door. I'm not expecting any of that shit.
I mean, also you are flying over.
It's just
like
a generic. It's just a generic, like, how low can you get to it? And is it just a generic?
Oh, I mean,
like,
you can literally just land in your front yard if you felt like it.
Really? Okay, I'm gonna have to check.
Good luck trying to get back up from your front yard. But
if I ever get a Xbox, whatever. Because that's the thing, I'll say
well,
this.
Look, going it
back
sounds
to...
like the cool thing from this from the E3 to kind of bring around that is they're also going to put it on the streaming. Because that's the only thing, is this game takes up a lot. Like, on my PC, the game's almost like 200 gigs. It's ginormous, you know. But if you're able just to bust it out on your phone and just, like, start flying around and streaming, like, that would be really cool. Because the game plays great on the Xbox controller.
I'm going to have to, I don't know, I might have to get every system of this generation. Because the thing is, before... Maybe I mean, this is gonna almost take you back almost, and it's once again kind of off E3 for a second. But like, when you're a kid, you had your one system, and your rich friend had all the other systems, had all the systems, and then you get your first job in high school, and then you're not paying rent, and all your money goes to video games and other hobbies. So, GameCube, PS2, Xbox One, the first Xbox One, but I mean the first
Xbox.
The first
you
gotta
say Xbox Original now. It's
Xbox
confusing.
Original. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's stupid. Yeah. That was the first time I had, first and I think the only time I had all the systems at the same time, like all the main systems. And then after that, it's been like one or two rather than three. Mm-hmm. And right now it's just Switch and PS4. But I mean, Bethesda, unfortunately, I was hoping to see something for the next Fallout, but it looks like they're still getting some more usage out of 76.
Mm-hmm.
So with the more DLC and shit like that. But since Bethesda owns Fallout now, I mean, since Microsoft owns Fallout now I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'll be having to get that. And then probably, more than likely, I think Street Fighter is going to be exclusively on PlayStation, I heard. So that means I'm going to have to get PlayStation for sure. So,
well, it's been Street Fighter 5 has always been exclusive to PlayStation other than PC.
Yeah, but I think I heard that the next one's going to be that too. So.
Yeah, I think Sony's going to hold on to that pretty hardcore. But even speaking of Fallout, though, you got that new... It pretty much seems like the super sci-fi Fallout, the Starfield game coming out.
Yeah, that one was kind of ambiguous. They didn't really show a lot in the trailer. It was more like an announcement.
No, they're
like, the
yeah, they're more like, okay, let's get in the ship. Okay, you're ready to take off. And trailer
look, there's
over.
A sandwich. Yeah.
Yeah. But I could kind of almost picture what that's going to be like. I'm assuming that's literally just going to be like Fallout, but like in a futuristic sci-fi Mass Effect kind of like world. I mean, there's probably more to it than that, but I'm guessing that's probably what it is.
Something to that effect. I don't know. It was too vague for me to get all that excited for it, but, you know, I'll check it out, of course. Mm-hmm. Then they have the Outer Worlds trailer. It's like, yeah, we barely got anything done with it, but we're going to have some third wall or fourth wall humor. Top making fun of all these E3 trailers, more or less.
The Outer Worlds, that's another game. I have it sitting here, and I just have never touched it. I'm like, it looked cool and so on, but then there just kept being other things that came out around it. And I was just like, I'll get to it. I'll get to it. I know everybody says it's like a mixed match between like Fallout and Mass Effect. I'm like, that sounds cool. I'm sold on that, and this, I just never got around to it.
Plus, they use the passenger from Iggy Pop in one of the trailers. So I'm like, okay, maybe we'll see. Maybe we'll see.
It's funny.
It's probably not actually in the game, but something like that. Like, well, if Iggy approves, so Iggy doesn't approve. They just paid him enough money. Well, still, maybe, you know, maybe
still, maybe he is on the board of like approval. Just, I imagine there's all these guys.
No that, shirt.
Just everybody else is like in a business suit and so on like that. And then there's just Iggy Pop there, be like, well, he's here to approve. Does Iggy play a lot of video games? No, he's just here to approve.
He's just sitting there, like, no shirt, just, like, tight leather black pants, one, like, one cowboy boot up on, like, the, on the desk. He's like, "Well, Iggy, what do you think?" And he just, like, nods or just stares at him very sternly. Like, "Oh, he doesn't like that." Next.
Yeah, but we've been working on that for years. Next. You heard Iggy.
Or you saw his demeanor.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going next. Another thing that I thought was kind of neat that I actually, once again, a lot of times for me, I get more excited about, like, the old crap than I do about, like, sometimes the new stuff. It's like, oh, they got Age of Empires 4 coming out? I'm like, oh, that's going to be pretty sweet then.
Mike Spencer will be excited about that.
I mean, Spencer and, like, you know, 60-year-old historians are all getting, like, amped up right now. But it's like one of those ones, because at the end of the day, I feel like it's weird, because, like, I've always tried to look for other good RTS games, and there's really not a whole lot beyond Command & Conquer, Age of Empires, and, like, the kind of the spinoffs of that, you know, and then even sort of like, I guess, StarCraft / Warcraft, those early ones. Like, everybody else's one is just, I always just feel like I play them and I go, it's just not up to par. It's like one of those things where it's just like, if it's not good enough, it just doesn't make the cut. But I'm like, okay, this New Age Empires looks like, here we go. It's been a long time since we've had one of these. So that could be kind of fun. They showed it off on Xbox, but you know you got to have a PC, like, keyboard and mouse. So those games never work that great on controller.
I remember I watched the Square Enix one, but I already kind of, like, forgot a lot of the things in that.
Well, the Square one was kind of weird. I will say there's a couple ones, because there was that Final Fantasy Origin trailer, which I think is kind of funny because, you know, like, I've always made this complaint, like, for, like, the last, like, 15 years for action RPGs, is I always felt like whenever those companies would come out with one, I always feel like, I go, man, it feels like a half-assed Ninja Gaiden game with RPG elements. Like, that was always my, like, description of how so many action RPGs are. And then it felt like when I saw this, I'm like, oh, you're making an action RPG? And now you're going to actually use Ninja Gaiden Company Team Ninja? There you go. You fixed that problem that I felt like so many of those games used to have, you know, where it's just, they always felt like just not nearly, like, a great, because I feel like that's what makes, RPGs, but when you do turn-based, you don't have to have that super, like, defined, like, perfect gameplay, because you got the turn-based in there to kind of make up for it. But then when it's like they got rid of it, it's like, then they just kind of had just, yeah, it just felt like a lesser version of, like, Ninja Gaiden / even something like Dynasty Warriors style, you know? So that looked kind of interesting. I mean, the trailer looked, I mean, the character seems so kind of dumb, but they had the American voiceover, so can't expect much there. But I still felt like, yeah, that still looks like Team Ninja meets Final Fantasy. That could be kind of fun. I'm kind of sold on that idea. And then they had the thing that I've been waiting for forever. Once again, it's another old thing. They're like, oh, we're going to do a Final Fantasy 1-6 collection. I'm like, oh, that's amazing. Yeah, it's only going to come out for phone and PC. And they're like, like,
why?
It should have been only out for Switch. Like, what other system does that need to come out for? You know what I mean? Like,
that probably should be some stupid rights.
If you want to put it on everything, that's fine too. I mean, it does always feel weird when I see Final Fantasy on Xbox. I don't know why. That just never feels like that. Those two systems kind of go together, or that company in the system, but whatever. But I feel like, I mean, hopefully it comes later on. But still, it's like looking at that, like, dude, they're already out on Steam and, like, the phones. Like, you pretty much can get Final Fantasy 1-6. They might be kind of different various versions of them, but they're all on there. So it felt like if you're going to make this nice collection, I think it's supposed to be, like, you know, almost in a sense, enhanced classic versions. Why is that not on the Switch? I've been waiting for Final Fantasy VI to appear on the Switch for, like, a long time. That's why I keep thinking it's going to come on the Switch, so I'm like, well, I'm not going to start up my SNES classic version, because I'll just wait for the Switch version, because I want that Switch version. And then it's like, oh, well, it's like you give something really cool, and then at the last second you pull the rug out, I felt.
Well, that seemed like a weird thing, like, not on major consoles, just streaming and computer. That just seems weird to me.
Well, it's not streaming, I guess, but it's just
not streaming, but, like, phones or whatever, mobile. That just,
I mean, granted, I know nowadays if you take your phone and you clip a Bluetooth controller to it, it pretty much is like a souped-up Game Boy. Like, I know that, like, it is. I mean, that's how I play, like, the Xbox stuff. Like, so many of that streaming stuff, you know, if you're ever waiting somewhere, you just whip out your phone, put the controller on it, you're playing Halo 2. Once again, it's like, you got all these games on here, and you keep going back to the old one. Well, you know, it's shit. I didn't expect us to be playing Halo 2 portable. They're just saying.
Well, you are, you know, you're getting older when it's just like, you look at the different things, like, oh, look, Metroid 5. And it plays like old Metroid, but it's kind of 3D. Oh, Psychonauts 2! That only took, like, how long to happen? You know, so it's like,
that game's been, like, the longest in-process game. It's been, like, 20 years. Maybe not that long. Because I guess Psychonauts came out in, like, 2005.
2004, 2005, something like that. And, now that that's finally coming out after all these years. I'm like, don't get me wrong, if I get an Xbox, I'm curious to play it, but why so soon at this point, you know?
Boy.
I feel like a lot of games like that are almost destined to... No, I'm not trying to be dick. I hope the game does good, because I don't remember the name of that developer, but I like that guy who pushes a lot of those games.
It's the guy who works for LucasArts, and he did Brutal Legend and all that stuff.
I think he did Sam & Max and Grim Fandango. Yeah, that didn't. Yeah, and Brutal Legends. Yeah, that dude, I like
Tim
him.
Schafer. That's his name.
Yeah, I like that guy. But every so often, there's like those games that take so long to come out, and when they finally come out, they don't meet expectation, or they've gone through a bunch of versions. Like Beyond Good and Evil. Like I never played the first one. But when they showed the first two trailers, the new Beyond Good and Evil 2, mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, that looks amazing. And it's still like we didn't know what we were doing. We're still figuring it out. We got a story, but we're still figuring it out. I'm like, I hope it's good, but I got a feeling that it's almost too ambitious and it's going to just tank the second it comes out, if it ever comes out.
I feel like that kind of happens. And it's, you know, maybe it'll be an okay game. I don't know. I didn't even care for the Beyond Good and Evil 1. I thought I was really going to like that game, and that game I thought was just kind of an okay one. Like, when I kind of played it, I was like, I was maybe just because everybody talked so highly about it, I kind of played it. I'm like, it's like a half-assed Zelda. That's how I sort of felt. Like,
I mean,
it's got cool
it.
Character, but like, I had interesting elements, but it wasn't like, I don't know. I just felt like, maybe it was just like the hype of it kind of like, upped it, but it's like, yeah, I wasn't. I mean, also, I would play a second one, but I definitely was not as impressed with the first one as I thought I was going to be. I thought I was going to love the first one.
Well, I never played the first one. I'm just the trailer to the second one that came out, like, God, I think 3 years ago by now.
Yeah.
Before. That one, just the world it took place in, looked very interesting. It had this whole kind of like, you know, Indian, Southeast Asia kind of look to it. And like cyberpunky and all that, and there's like a monkey with a mechanical arm and all that kind of shit. It was all open world, so it looked very interesting, but at the same time, looked very ambitious. And when something gets that ambitious, it's a very obscure game from like 15 years ago. Who knows? I hope it comes out. I hope it's good. But even though I don't even think that had any presence at this particular E3, because that's a Ubisoft game, I believe, and Ubisoft. I feel bad. I watched them all, but now I'm having trouble. Like, God,
no, well, that's the thing,
what happened?
They kind of mesh together and so on. You kind of go on, but
there was one for Xbox that like it was like a side scrolling. It looked kind of like maybe it might be a Castlevania-ish kind of game, and it had like the 3D environment, but the characters look kind of pixelated, and it had this cyberpunk kind of look to it. Not Cyberpunk 2077 or whatever, but like a cyberpunky kind of
I feel like nowadays we're gonna have to like rephrase that. Cyberpunk used to be just like a genre name. Now it's like, oh, now there's a game attached to it as well too.
And unfortunately I'm drawing blank on the name of this game, but it looked really cool. So it's weird. I'm almost getting to that point where I'm looking more forward to things with a retro aesthetic but are still kind of a little bit more newer, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, overall, like I look forward to newer stuff. I feel like it's even, like, older series can kind of still win me over. I thought, like, another thing that was kind of funny is, like, I noticed, this is something I noticed in some of these trailers, is it felt like the grappling gun from 007 Nightfire is making a comeback all over the place. Because in Battlefield 2042, like, everybody was grappling all over the place and so on. And then I think in Halo, there was the grappling thing in there, because in the trailer, it showed that you could, like, grapple up and, like, literally grab, like, the whatever. What's the flying one? Like, well, I know it's not, like, a Banshee, but, like,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
You could literally grapple onto him, pull the pilot out, beat him, toss him out, and jump on him. I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. It feels like I'll probably be that guy who never can get that going. Like, it'd be like one of those things where, like, you could do this, but, like, try to do it while someone's shooting at you and, you know, chaos is going on. It's going to be real tough.
Yeah, well, I feel like that all first-person shooters kind of go through a little bit of that phase of, like, here's this new thing that this game thought of and or utilized or perfected. I mean, because it's not the first, like, third-person or even, like, first-person shooter to utilize a grappling gun. But I feel like now it's like, you know what? I think we got this technology down a little better. Let's try and utilize it a bit more. And, yeah, because I saw that nearly every shooter on there.
Yeah, there was at least three of them I saw that had it. So it's just funny, like, when, like, everybody has it at once. Like, it's not like... It'd be one thing if I only saw it in Battlefield, you know, but in all the other stuff. And that new Battlefield one actually looked pretty sweet. And no matter what, I've always enjoyed the Battlefield games. I've never... Like, they always have... I actually think I like their storylines even more than the Call of Duty ones, you know? I mean, that's all I ever play it for. I'm the person, I play the 8 hours of story, I'm like, okay, game done.
Well, Battlefield is one of those ones I played a little bit of here and there. And that one, obviously, that's one of those games, like Call of Duty, they're really pushing for the a lot of online play, which can still be fun. But, I mean, just, I'll be honest, I'm not someone who's really turned on by a lot of online play. Like, it doesn't really get me a whole lot. But seeing that particular game, like, that actually looks really fun. You know, they said they had up to 128 people on that same screen. Mm-hmm. And there, it looks like they're battling somewhere in, like, in Saudi Arabia. And there's a big-ass storm coming in. They got all these skyscrapers, and they're all just, like... You saw, like, one guy, like, kamikaze a helicopter with, like, a warthog or, like, a jeep or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's just, like... all right, if you just, like, kind of... I guess that's the thing about a lot of the military shooters when they try to be so grounded in reality. But this one's just, like, enough of reality and enough of, like, sci-fi and over-the-topness.
Yeah, no. It still looks really fun. I'm kind of... It's one of those ones like, you can sign me up for pretty much any of those games. Like, they never really... I mean, I know people can, like, complain about certain aspects of them, but most of those aspects always involve multiplayer, so it's like, does affect me. I always like the stories. That's kind of what I show up for, you know? And I think so many... Especially if all those EA games are also, like, kind of tied in with, you know, Microsoft's Game Pass, so they might all be somewhat easy access to get to, you know? I know
EA, I think... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because EA, all those EA games are generally on the Microsoft Game Pass. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer, like, if they know they can make some money off them first, but for the most part, you can pretty much play them all on there, and so
yeah,
on.
Well,
even, with Halo's multiplayer, they're kind of doing, like, the freestyle, sort of like what they've been doing with Call of Duty, so that'd be kind of interesting.
I was going to say, EA, I know that they have a bad reputation, and understandably so, for all the microtransactions and being kind of shitty to their programmers and developers, but I feel like they've gotten so much of that recently, and that's been constantly brought up time after time after time. I feel like they might be starting to back away from that and start, like, maybe changing that, because, you know, I don't believe I didn't play it, but I don't believe Fallen Order from for Star Wars Fallen Order, I don't believe that one had a bunch of little microtransactions and a bunch of, like, you know, shitty stuff they were doing before, and maybe something like Battlefield will follow suit. Different studio, probably different part of the studio, but, you know.
Well, it's still the main Battlefield studio is DICE, and so they're developing it there. But that's the thing, it's like okay, EA might have some of those things, but at the end of the day, like, EA still puts out some of the strongest games. I mean, I'm not going to deny it. Like, I very rarely am disappointed, at least. And once again, I'm not playing them on online. I think a lot of those problems a lot of times come from, like, the online thing. If you're kind of just playing the campaigns on any of those games, they generally always run fine. So it's not like there's no microtransactions you're going to need playing single player campaigns. So,
well, playing, I'm going to say Battlefront 1 was a big, like...
Well, one was only multiplayer, though.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. Not really realize. I just felt kind of like Battlefront was a different game. Star Wars Battlefront was a different game than the one they put out there. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, what? So that one pissed me off when I realized how drastically different and how it was just kind of like multiplayer only and there's barely anything to do with it. And I was just like, oh, fuck you guys. But, you know... Like a lot of people have said, they've been kind of backing off that lately. And if they can get... Because, you know, they've always been, like, a competent company.
Yeah.
But it's just they have really shitty business practices to their own people and to their customers. And fix those two things, I think that they could probably get back to being where... Back to the point where we're all excited to play Two Towers, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Because that's the thing, is they've always put so much together. Well, I feel like Battlefront 2, like, really, like, they addressed that. It's like, they fixed all the issues they could think about. I mean, there's probably always something, but, like... That game, now granted, I got a little bit later, so there's always, like, the patches and so on, but whatever. Had an amazing storyline in it, single-player mode, and actually even the multiplayer itself was really fun. There was all sorts of things you could do, and, yeah, that game just gave you content upon content upon content. So, you know, whatever. I guess that's just sort of kind of how it is. You know, different companies, different things, but, you know, beyond even that, some of those other things, too, this kind of goes back into Nintendo, but, like, these are those kind of small things that I got real excited about. Was that one? There's that River City Girls 2 coming out, and they're doing.
I didn't even see River City's Girl 2. That was on there.
I think it was just an announcement. There was not, like, I don't think there was a trailer or anything. I found that in reading, but Yeah, so there's a River City Girls 2 coming out, and they're doing a remake of the very first game of River City Girls 0, is what they're going to call it. So that's one of those ones that in Japan is part of those River City Ransom and Double Dragon and all that stuff. You know, there's like 1,000 of those games, pretty much, at the end of the day. Just when you thought you played them all, there's like, oh, well, guess what? There's this whole other series of them that never came to the U.S., you know? So they're going to do a remaster of that one. It was a Super Nintendo one.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, so I don't remember seeing anything for that, but I could definitely see that popping up.
I think some of those real small companies, I mean, I always way forward, like people sometimes call it indie. I don't call that company indie because, one, that company's been around for like 30 years, and two, it's like they still make pretty, they make licensed games. If you make an Aliens game, I'm pretty sure you're not indie, let's just be honest. But I like that company a lot, you know. And so, generally, anything that they come out with, I'm kind of excited just to see, like, what it's going to be and so on. But, so that was there. And then, of course, there was also that Zelda handheld. I felt like we kind of knew that Zelda Game & Watch was kind of, once the Mario one came out, it's like, well, what are they going to do next? They're going to do Zelda. But that one actually is one of those things where I'm like, the Mario one's kind of cool. Do you need it? No, you don't need it at all, but it'd be kind of cool to have just to have. But the Zelda one, I feel like, that one you could almost get even more use out of, I think. I think that one would be kind of cool, because I think that they're only $50 or whatever. I think that was how much the Mario one was. Who knows? They could jack up the Zelda one for all you know. But for that thing, it's like, well, you could always play Zelda over, and it's got Zelda 1, 2, and the idea that it has Link's Awakening in it, too. That's pretty badass.
Yeah, that was actually... because that one's coming out, and that's not one I feel like I need to have, but it'd be cool to have. And I think you're right, that would have more longevity, because what the Mario 1 had? The Mario 1 just had Mario 1 and then some Game & Watch games, right?
It had Mario 1, it had the Lost Levels, Mario 2, and then it had some Game & Watch games. So that was all it kind of... You know, I think that one, I would have said this, if it would have came with, like, in a sense, like, let's call it the All-Stars pack, and it was Mario 1, Lost Levels, 3, and American 2, and if they were all in, like, the NES style, I think I would have bought it.
Done. Yeah, that would have been... gone in a matter of minutes as soon as they announce it. Goes on pre-orders available right now. Like, Nintendo's site would have just crashed.
Yeah, exactly. But that Zelda one, I feel like those three games right there, that would be kind of a fun way to have it. Do I need it? No. I mean, how many times do I own Zelda 1, 2, and Link's Awakening? You know, I probably got already like 6 different versions sitting around here on different formats and so on. But it would be kind of cool just to have, I got this cool little novelty portable thing and so on, you know. I don't know. That one, it's like, if it's only like $50, I don't know, I might get that, because that was pretty cool.
Same thing here. I mean, even if you don't plan on playing it, it sounds like the most, like, just, hoarding thing possible to say, but, like, the Mario thing, it looks cool. I probably wouldn't play it. I'd probably pick it up, play it once or twice. Like, oh, that's cool. Then it just go sit on a shelf next to, like, a figurine of Mario, and that's the most use that thing would ever get, you know?
Yeah, that's how I sort of felt about it, too. It's like, yeah, you played a couple times, but then you'd be like, well, I could go play this on the Switch, too, or I could go play this on the SNES Classic or NES Classic, whatever one you want to choose, or I can pull out the actual cartridge if I really felt like it. You know, it's one of those ones, but... yeah, definitely total novelty, but still kind of neat. One other thing I guess I would say from, I guess, the Nintendo section, it's kind of cool that they're bringing out that Fatal Frame. I think it's 4, but I could be kind of wrong. It could be Fatal Frame 5, but it was the one that came out on Wii U, and it was one of those things where, like, it wasn't really supposed to, and all of a sudden Nintendo's like, whatever, fuck it, throw it out there, translate it, or I don't know if they translate, but, you know, translate it enough for Americans, and it's good to go. So it's kind of cool that they're bringing that one out to Switch, because that was kind of on Wii U and sort of didn't get a whole lot of attention. And I know that, you know, Fatal Frame in general, they almost need, like, a just bring out the entire collection and kind of re-release it again and almost see if you can get new traction out of that series.
Nintendo's being kind of like, you know what, we need to get more of, like, the, other than, like, a random indie horror game, we need to get more horror games on our console right now.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's kind of it. And so, I mean, they got the old Resident Evils and so on like that, but just having Fatal...
Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, you go ahead. I'm pretty much done with Fatal Frame.
I was going to ask you, what'd you think about, like, because it was a cinematic, so it was too hard to get, it wasn't there enough there to get super excited about it, but what'd you think about that, I forgot what it was called already, but that vampire hunting game that was the last thing they showed for Xbox?
Oh, the, shit, what was that one called? The, it wasn't Redfall, was it? No.
And it was Redfall. It was like, basically, it was people with powers going after fighting different vampires.
Was it that? I remember kind of seeing it, but it was one of those things that just didn't jump out to me, like, so I just didn't, like, remember it as nearly as well.
I kind of, like, sat there feeling kind of old. Like, part of me is, like, in theory, there are things about this I should like, but I'm just feeling old watching it. Maybe because the characters are being too kind of catty and too, like, you know, tongue-in-cheek with it. But, I don't know, something about that, I was just like, I don't know. I mean, depending on how you bring it in, even, like, the concept of, like, if you're, let's say it's a vampire, like, first-person shooter, like, thing where, like, okay, you have to, once the sun comes out, vampires die, or they become less powerful, so you just gotta survive till the sun comes out, or when you go inside, it's like I Am Legend, maybe when you go inside, that's where all the vampires are at, so, or, like, Omega Man, even, something kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
But just something about the trailer, just like, I don't know, maybe I'm too old now, because I was used to be characters, like, being catty and talking shit and kind of breaking the fourth wall a little bit back in my own games, but the second it's like you get a little older and you start seeing other games do that, like a new franchise, you're like, who the fuck are you? You know? Like, a game not made for you, old man. Like, oh, I guess you got a point.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's sort of kind of how there comes that cross-off point. Well, that's why, like, when you see Advance Wars 1 and 2, you're a little more excited about that than anything.
Yeah. I get to play with a game where it looks like
that's just where there's just, like, some
18-year-old
kid going,
tanks.
Like, come on, old man. You serious? You're excited about Advance Wars? What's so advanced about war?
Yeah.
Like, when you put it like that, now you just sound like an idiot, but, yeah, it's those kind of things like that. I guess another one that was kind of interesting, there was the Guardians of the Galaxy game, and it looks like it's done
in
that same style that the Marvel Avengers one was that came out, I guess, last year. Gosh, felt like it's longer ago than that, but I guess that's all it was. And that game was, I liked that game a lot. I know people kind of had sort of mixed feelings on it and so on, but to me it just felt like, hey, here's this random Avengers movie that's just played out in a game. I'm like, cool, that works for me. I had a good time with it. All the characters played really fun. Felt very cinematic. It was about the right length and so on. So this one looks to be kind of the same thing.
Yeah, that's right. They have the Guardians of the Galaxy one, and they have the Black Panther one, and both those could be pretty fun. It feels weird that you start off with Avengers and then you go to the other stuff. You think you build up to Avengers, but that being said, both those look like they're going to be fun games. I'd probably, because I know that at least Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be available for Switch.
Well, it's streaming for Switch.
It's streaming for Switch.
Yeah.
That's one I'm probably going to get for PS5 or Xbox, whichever one I end up getting. Maybe both, I don't know, but yeah.
Well, I'll say this, because just playing the Avengers game on my PlayStation 4, like that game, and I have like the original PlayStation 4, not even like the fancy pro version or anything like that. So that game would like, it would like be like, if you died, you would take you like 45 seconds for the game to reload. It was like a long one, so it's like, yeah. And when it comes down to even Switch games, I always say if the game is technically supposed to be like a PlayStation or an Xbox game, I just get it for that. I don't get it for Switch if that's. I don't want the downgraded version or the one's gonna run not nearly as hard. I feel like Nintendo games and then almost kind of like those cool sort of like indie / 2D and that kind of type stuff I like on Switch. But if I need the power, you need the power.
Same thing here, and the thing that's been maybe buy less PS4 games, just like, I don't know, make a game that's not like, that doesn't take up all my memory, and then maybe I'll buy more of like PS4 games or whatever.
Well, nowadays, I feel like you just have to get those hard drives. There's no getting around it anymore. It's like one of those ones, like, I mean, I got a hard drive, I got one for everything. I got extra hard drives for PC, extra hard drives for, you know, even Switch, you have to get extra kind of memory, because that thing you just run out real quick too, but I remember there was a period where it's like, I got 6 terabytes for my PlayStation 4. Like, that almost seems ridiculous, but it's like, you sort of need it.
Yeah, well, it's also just the idea of, like, you know, I mean, if you have Red Dead Redemption 2 and Final Fantasy 15 on your PS4 with just the basic memory of what that already has on there, well, get ready to start deleting for everything else on there, you know?
You know, and the way I kind of look at it is, you know, in the olden days, we'd have to get memory cards, and technically, that would probably add up to whatever a big hard drive would cost anyways nowadays. Because, you know, memory cards weren't cheap. I almost want to say they were, like, between 15 to 25 bucks. Yeah. So, you know, and everybody has a couple of them anyways. So, I feel like, by that standard, that's the same price that I probably would have paid for a 4-terabyte hard drive or something. So,
True.
So,
I'm just gonna...
I think we just got so used to not having to have buy memory cards for that last, like, 10 years or so, or whatever it had been. that, like, you kind of got out of the feeling of that little bit of an extra expense, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait a second, they're not making the hard drives big enough, you know? But sometimes I do think that what they're really leading towards is the streaming, because the streaming's, because, like, just doing the Xbox One and playing it on my phone and trying it out on the PC with the Xbox and so on like that, and it works, like, pretty much, like, 90% good, you know? And I don't even have the fastest internet, and the fact that, like, it works pretty darn well for me, and I can kind of play, in a sense, I can go play Halo 2 wherever I feel like it. I can go play Perfect Dark and so on. Like, you know that that's totally, in about 5 years from now, is going to be, like, the way of the, you know, the future. I mean, it's not bad, though. I mean, like, I know it sounds like it sounds like the old man way of, like, changing and so on, but it is pretty darn cool, the fact that, like, say, like, you want to try a game, but you're like, I don't want to download 60 gigs of this game and so on. It's like, well, whatever, I'll just stream it, try it out, play it for 30 minutes, and be good to go. And, like, it takes 5 minutes to, or then take even 5 minutes to boot up. It takes, like, a minute to boot up. And, yeah, I didn't have to download anything. And then at least I know if I want to try it or play it or whatnot. If I really like it, then I will just full-on download it on my Xbox or what have you.
Was there anything else? I'm trying to think that anything else really stood out to me on this E3. I feel like a lot of it kind of, like, merged together. Not that a lot of it looked bad. Just a lot of it was just like, oh, I heard this coming out. Okay, okay. Oh, this is just a little bit more about what the, like, the stuff that I was really looking forward to was Capcom and Nintendo. Nintendo, I walked away being, okay. Capcom, I walked away being very disappointed. So, I don't know. Was there anything else that jumped out to you, really, in this whole...
I think that... let me just take my... Like, I sort of just wrote down the ones that jumped out to me, and I think we went over just about all of them on here. Yeah, I think... Oh, you know what there was? It's a small one. It just... The idea that there's just... This series still is going on is kind of cool. Is there's that Cruise and Blast or whatever coming out on Switch, and it's like, oh, they're still making Cruise and USA games? That was all I thought. I was like, I'm cool. And I love in the trailer, like, they hit arcade game. I'm like, okay, yo, back up, back up, back up. Don't say they hit arcade game when that arcade system probably exists in, like, you know, every major city in, like, one location, maybe only, you know? I don't know if you call any game a hit arcade game anymore, you know, but still, I just thought the fact that that was coming out was kind of cool. There is that Shin Megami Tensei number 5. That's one of those series that I literally have looked at ever since, like, probably, like, the first one came out. You know, no different than some of those other series we've talked about on the show so far, where it's like, I see it. It always has looked kind of cool. I've always kind of wanted to give it a go. I never have. You know, I never have. I actually have some of them sitting on, you know, DS or something somewhere, but I've never, always wanted to, had, like, the idea, but haven't. But then I see that one coming out for Switch, like, a new one, like, maybe that's the time to give it a go. Maybe that's it, you know?
Well, I don't really remember Shin Megami Tensei stuff that well. I remember, like, trailers for it back when it... I remember trailers and a little bit of it, of, like, when it first came out. I want to say the first one was on PS2, right?
Something like that. Yeah, the first or second one was the PS2 one.
It wasn't Dante, like, a downloadable character in it?
Maybe he was.
In one of them?
I don't remember that, but I could kind of see,
like,
that.
Not downloadable, but, like, a secret character in one of the games. That, like, I thought, maybe I'm wrong.
Well, because it always just sort of looked like demonic sort of Final Fantasy was, like, the best way to sort of describe it.
Which I'm kind of looking at, like, generally that was always, like, I don't really care about, like, kind of, like, the gothy kind of emo, like, anime aesthetic. Mm-hmm. But that, and I don't know how long you've been playing as, like, a girl, but in this one, like, oh, if I got a girl instead of some frail boy with glasses, so, all right.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Like, I just felt kind of like, you know, like someone's angry dad just being like, oh, you play this game, he plays a girly boy for so long, they finally just made him a girl, why not?
Yeah, exactly. You know, but I don't know. This
I might be mixing,
like,
up franchises, but yeah.
When it's kind of like, for the fact that there's just barely any, like, turn-based style games, and I think this one was still turn-based from what I... It had another one of those trailers that had, like, kind of bad, like, dubbing. Or not dubbing, but, like, voiceover. Like, it was, like, really trying to explain this game to you, like, all its features. But it was like, you know what? Just let the trailer. Just let it ride. we can figure it out without the narration, you know? But, I don't know. It's, like, one of those ones. It looks kind of interesting. And the fact that if it is turn-based and there's just not that many turn-based stuff out there, I'm always kind of interested because of that.
I might buy... I mean, I've always been kind of curious about Monster Hunter, so... There's two Monster Hunter games coming out. I might get the one where it looks a little bit more cartoony and anime-ish, where I guess you raise the monster. Mm-hmm. That one is a maybe for me. And then there's the one where it actually is, I guess, the next Monster Hunter game, which I think it's the next monster. I don't know. They have so many. I don't really know what's the real one and what's the spinoff anymore. But both of them looked good.
Yeah, exactly. So... I mean, that's another one of those series I've thought about many a times getting, so on. I tried one of the ones on like 3DS, and I remember being like, I it was okay. I mean, like, I felt like maybe you have to just put the time and effort into it. You can't just try it out. It's something that you'll get into over time. It's a lot of times those action RPGs have just, it takes a lot for me to be won over by those. But yeah, it's still interesting. Yeah, there's probably something we're missing, but for the most part, I felt like that was all the things that jumped out to me, at least. And I guess that's kind of
same thing here.
How I sort of look at it and so on. It's, you know, it's still, all in all, it's still a strong enough, like, kind of E3. I mean, I know that, like, it's, once again, it's just diluted because of people releasing stuff at different times, you know, and Sony not doing anything and, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, I know there was that weird Avatar game coming out, which just kind of, like, almost just feels
why so soon?
To me, it's just like, eh, you know, it's like, James, like, you should have released that one that was really popular. I don't know. Maybe there is just people that are like, dude, when I was like 6 years old and Avatar came out, that was my jam. That was my Jurassic Park. And I was like, oh, okay, I get it. Everybody has their own Jurassic Parks.
You think Avatar is going to be kind of like Kroll or something like that, where it has like this cult following years later? I mean, it was much bigger than Kroll, and it was a huge financial success. But do you think it's going to be like this thing, like, oh yeah, that thing we made a big deal about back then, and then there's suddenly a bunch of nostalgia for it, like, 10, 15 years later?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, this game's going to be, like, the 10-year mark of it, so it could be that turn of, you know, where it starts going, okay, like, there's going to be nostalgia for it. I bet you anything, though. Avatar's going to be that thing in 20 years from now. Let's just say if this game kind of goes and comes and goes or whatnot, Avatar in 20 years will be that thing that all of a sudden they'll just be selling shirts at randomly, you know, being like, oh yeah, by the way, remember this weird thing?
Oh yeah, I can see that, yeah.
You know, and it will kind of turn into something like that, you know. It's one of those movies I've always kind of wanted to give it another go, because I really haven't watched it since it kind of came out. And I just remember watching when it came out. I was like, eh, I've seen better. Like, that's sort of how I felt. Like, I'm like, this isn't True Lies 2.
Well, at the same time, my thing was, like,
sir, did you know what you were going into? I thought I was going to True Lies 2. I'm like, really? Does that poster look anything close to True Lies 2? Oh, I don't know. I thought you were just
playing. I just saw James Cameron's name. I got tunnel vision.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I remember seeing Avatar and I remember liking it, but then, like, not being, other people being like, wow, I was blown away. And I in all honesty, I guess you haven't seen a lot of, like, theatrical sci-fi movies try and do things to that level, to that point, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I guess playing a lot of video games and reading a lot of comics, it seemed rather kind of tame on the sci-fi end. So people being blown away by the level of sci-fi shit, I'm like, I feel like I've seen other versions of this before, but then again, I'm still, you know, I'd still see a new movie, or I'd check out the game if it was, you know, cheap price, but, or got a lot of good reviews at least.
Yeah.
James Cameron's apparently has, like, 5 sequels planned, and it's been making them for, like, the last couple years, so who knows?
Yeah, exactly. I know it's been, like, ever since the last one, But yeah, beyond all that good stuff, I think that's a nice little wrap-up of E3, all the kind of fun things that kind of were highlighted and so on, you know. Look forward to some of these games coming out. There's going to be at least a good handful of stuff coming out this year, you know, not like one of those ones where you're waiting 3 years for it and so on, but we'll see where that all kind of takes us. But till then, you can go to oldmanorange.com for more podcasts, cartoons, comic books like Pizza Boys and all that good stuff. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Dunnigan.
And I'll see you some other time.
Later, folks.